Welcome to Visible Signs, Invisible Designs. Here we talk about communication design on a meta level. We talk about useful things that people make, but are so humble that they often go unnoticed. Are these designs? Absolutely. Design is more than what meets the eyes. Let's look at what lies beneath the surface. Hi everyone, welcome to the 10th episode of Visible Signs, Invisible Designs. And I'm still in Vancouver recording this podcast, and I'm with two fantastic designers from Vancouver, BC here, who are partners of Pose Projects. And they are Alex Nelson and Bo House. Do you want to say hi?
Maybe Alex? Yeah, sure. Hey there, I'm Alex Nelson, founding partner and co-creative director of Pose Projects.
Hi there, I'm Bo. Thanks for having us here, Keith. It's nice to be here. Also part of Pose Projects.
Right. Well, it's great to get together after so many years, right? We met when we were Emily Carr, I guess, when I was teaching at Emily Carr, and you guys were classmates, right? When did you graduate?
Yeah, that was some time ago. We graduated in 2008. We were in the same graduating year together.
Yeah, we first met in your class.
Right. And it was a very memorable class for me personally. And also I was really impressed by the project that you guys did. It was a publication. It was the first second year communication design class. And you guys were already in the same group working on this project. Tell us the story behind how you actually started the studio. And what was the story from that group project on?
Oh, wow. Thanks. Yeah, that was a memorable project for us, too. Well, not only was that class the first time Alex and I met, that project was the first time that we worked together with another student. And while we weren't necessarily close through the remainder of our time at Emily Carr, that project sort of stood out as a memory of a good working relationship that started at that point. And then following our graduation, we shared a studio space with a number of other students and worked together on some side projects while we were both employed at other agencies in the city and just sort of slowly started working together on things. Eventually, Alex kind of was working independently, had a freelance practice started, and that grew to a point where it was becoming perhaps more than one individual can handle. We were still sharing space and working together. I think I even helped on some projects that Alex was doing for clients, and then we just slowly transitioned into it being a collaborative design practice.
So when did Pose Project actually start, like officially as a business?
Yeah, we're maybe a little fuzzy on the exact
thing, problem, it doesn't matter.
The first project we did together as Post Projects, I think, would be it was like a songbook for an artist duo, Kathy Slade and Brady Cranfield, where we basically we typeset this lyric book for a performance of theirs and printed it off on our little risograph machine that Bo had sort of brought back to life. That was probably the first thing we did together that, you know, was the result of something that we then, you know, put on a portfolio site that had our name on it.
Kind of like a zine-ish kind
Yeah, basically a zine. And then shortly after that, Revolver Coffee, I guess, would have come together. So that was like, I mean, that would have been, I guess, 2010-ish, 2011, something like that.
So, yeah, 13 years already.
We worked for a couple of years, maybe a couple of years, as sort of this startup early formation, and then I believe we incorporated in 2013-14. So that was, I suppose you could say that technically is the beginning of, the formal beginning of Pose Projects, though we were working together. Yeah. Prior to that.
Right. Yeah.
It was a partnership for a few years and then became a corp.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's how, you know, things get started. I think it's a great story that, you know, you guys worked so well together in school and then now you run a really successful firm. it's heartwarming. It's heartwarming.
Yeah, I mean, like those early days in school, when we were asked to, we had to put together a group for that project. And Bo kind of just always stood out to me as this guy that was kind of, he seemed sharp, you know, and I liked the way that he was thinking, and had a bit of an edge to him that I was drawn to. And so I approached him and was like, hey, should we tackle this together? And he seemed keen, and it kind of started there.
Do you remember, actually, you guys had these little forms where you had to rate your abilities and character?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was kind of like a matchmaking tool that you guys used to kind of put teams together. I remember that.
I don't know that that played a factor.
Oh, right. Okay, maybe not.
Yeah. Interesting concept. That might have worked for the bulk, I think.
Yeah.
The Alex and I and Ren, the other partner in the project, I think just sort of organically came together in the hallways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your studio. What kind of projects or clients do you focus on? What kind of work do you do?
Yeah, we do a mix of branding work, website design and development, print and publication stuff, you know, executing on all the things that, you know, would result from a branding process. So, you know, kind of everything under the sun that communication design touches, where we have capacity to do and have interest to do. We're mostly just interested in finding like the right group of people to be working with and for, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of what would you say is your philosophy or approach to communication design? What kind of process? What's the process like for post projects?
Yeah, I mean, it changes relative to the project that we're working on. You know, a branding process will have a different shape to say a digital or you know, web design process, but they're similar in that like, they start with a lot of unknowns and mm-hmm. vagaries, and then kind mm-hmm. of like over the course of some work and some time, you discover answers to questions and make decisions about things, and the result is something we call a deliverable. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
it's very much the relationship that you have with the client, the people that you're working with, like, right, and everyone is different. People come with different expectations around what it is that you're going to do for them, or what they think design is. And while the work is one thing, I think it's very much the personal dynamics and the relationship and communications that you develop with the client.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. the sort of key piece.
Do you do kind of like stakeholder workshops with the clients for your projects?
I don't know that we've called it that, but we certainly, you know, go through a phase of alignment, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. Discovery or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm. Beginning.
Yeah,
yeah. But, you know, we've had, it again, depends on the project and like what kind of stakeholders or a number of stakeholders we're talking about. You know, are these stakeholders, you know, well-informed about the practice of or processes involved in design? Are they, you know, relatively uninformed? Those will call for like different kinds of interactions. And then, you know, if there's a lot of people that you have to all get on the same page, well, that requires a different approach as well.
Do you find that you need to put in a lot of effort to kind of inform them about what you do and how you approach design, or is that, you know,
no, because I feel like that it comes from them.
Yeah.
The requirements and the goals and the, you know, and their ambitions are revealed through conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an exercise in trust, you know, that what they have to trust us with our understanding of design.
Sure.
And so there's not a lot of effort put into educating or informing them on what the process is. It's more of one of a building a trust.
Great. Yeah, that's important. I guess that's the most important.
Yeah, and you don't want to get too lost in the the nerdy details, like, you know, there's a certain point at which, like, people just kind of want something to, at sort of face value, feel like it's working. And I think that's fair and valid.
Yeah. How big is your team, and how are the roles organized?
Yeah, right now there's 5 core team members, including ourselves, and then we have sort of like a collection of sort of
mostly
go-to vendors that we'll use on a contract basis,
technical
depending on
specialists,
our needs.
Things like development.
Yeah. And then how those roles break down. There's myself and Bo sort of really, we're kind of steering the ship more or less, doing a lot of account management and creative direction stuff. And then we have a project manager, 2 staff designers, and most of the outside vendor work is, as Bo said, more on the technical end of things. Although every once in a while, if volume is such that we need an extra hand on the design front, we have some people we go to for that.
Right, I see. What kind of projects do you most enjoy working on? I know you guys are really into typography, you know, a very strong sense of color, but there's no, I see that you have different approaches to, like, visual approaches to projects. What kind of work or clients do you guys enjoy the most?
I think it's more about the people that we get to work with than the type of work they bring.
Mm.
You want to work with good people that are interested and passionate about what they're doing and have a clear goal and ambition. That's more exciting to me than if they come to us and say they need a website or they need a publication. Although now that I'm hearing myself say that, publication design is sort of a very enjoyable thing to get to do. It doesn't come up very often. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, I would echo that. Like, I can find a lot of personal satisfaction in a whole array of kinds of projects, whether it's branding or publication design or a digital project. Like, they all have tremendous opportunities to do something really great, and it really, it kind of mostly hinges on, like, who are you working with, and What do they kind of know about the project or want to accomplish, and do they have the means and resources to do something compelling? You know, because that's a reality too. Like, this stuff costs money to do and do right, and that's part of the whole equation as well. But yeah, I still get excited about all forms of graphic design. Though lately, as we kind of were discussing earlier, that we're kind of getting more and more personally interested in doing development, coding, JavaScript, that kind of thing. So that's sort of something that's like a current interest.
Yeah.
I think because
it's new, I think it's fun. Yeah.
Did you think you guys were, you know, interested in those things earlier in your career, or why do you all of a sudden have
I think
this
I personally
interest?
Resisted it because I had probably a mistaken idea around the difference between UI UX design and what I was interested in in relation to design, and that's, you know, evolved over the years. And
I've personally kind of always been interested in the digital side of things, though I didn't really take, like, programming too seriously until maybe just a couple of years ago. But yeah, I mean, we've been building websites since we've had a studio. And before that, I mean, prior to forming the studio, Bo and I both worked in the industry at, like, you know, digital shops. And so had experience there on the design side. And, you know, I did some basic front end web development back then as well. But so we've kind of always been at least manifesting those kinds of projects, whether or not we were actually developers at the time.
I guess, you know, when you get your hands into development, there's more control and there's more you can explore with it, rather than you design it first and then you just give it away.
And that world has evolved a lot too.
Yeah.
Recently, there's a lot more tools. The developer experience, to use the new phrase, is much better. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to get access to tools and to start making things than perhaps it was when we first started those projects.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, to your point, like, you know, I've heard it talked about a couple different ways. Years ago, I remember it was a studio that was really big in the Flash days called High Res, and they would talk about how, like, they looked for designers that had, like, no experience in the web development world because it sort of was a means to get a kind of fresh perspective, like a they could not be, you know, sullied by how the web worked or whatever and come up with stuff that was really out of the box. Mm. But these days, you can kind of do whatever you want. So, in a way, I think that, like, I think that a knowledge of development kind of, it's just like, if you have a deep understanding of, like, print design, the print process, you can leverage that to make really interesting decisions with your design project. So I think that it's worthwhile to, like, know what can be done, you know, and then use that in your process.
Just wondering, is there a big kind of UX, UI community scene in Vancouver? Are there lots of jobs in this area or firms in this area? Or,
I think if we're talking about design at large in Vancouver, that's probably a subsection that is thriving. It's probably, I mean, I'm making some assumptions here, but I feel like that's where the most jobs are.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Just purely talking employment.
It's the same in Hong Kong, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That may be changing now, given the current, you know, economic shift.
Mm.
But definitely, I think, yeah, digital product, digital agencies doing UI, UX to some degree is probably the most common, far more than people looking for print designers.
Mm-hmm. Do you see post project moving more into that area, or how do you see it developing?
I mean, if that's what comes our way, we're always down to just talk to whoever. So, I mean, if stuff shows up that is of that nature, we're down to have the conversation, though I don't think we're gonna reposition ourselves to sort of like talk about ourselves in the light of being a digital studio.
We won't specialize externally in communication that way.
Right. Yeah. It seems like there's a trend in Hong Kong where, you know, agencies become pretty much full service, offering a whole range of stuff from advertising, creative strategies, you know, branding, and, you know, and also the digital stuff, the UX, UI stuff.
But
is that
what I would say is, it's easy to say you're full service, but does your body of work reflect that you are?
Right.
It's kind of my pushback there, you know?
Right.
Because some agencies will say they are, and then you look at what they've done, and it's consistently all digital work. So it's like, where's the branding, you know, or vice versa.
Yeah.
I think it's hard, particularly as a smaller agency, to truly be strong in all of those avenues. You need team members with those specialties, but I don't know.
We've been focused on the execution side of things for a long time. Like, it's not like we haven't had, you know, brand strategy conversations with clients, but like, you know, speaking to Beau's point about, like, look at the body of work, what we put out into the world is very much like the execution of brand identity work, web design and development, publication work. Like, it's design executed is really where we've found our focus.
Well, I can see there's a really strong emphasis on good craft in your studio.
Yeah, I didn't care about that.
Thank you.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think what we're the best at, in terms of, like, the skill sets that we bring to bear, like, that's... Yeah.
I think an appreciation for type was instilled very early in our education.
Well,
stuck.
One of the time... Well, I guess when I first met you, Keith, in this, we... I guess at Emily Carr, what had happened in second year there was that we brought all the entire class together, 70 some odd students, as a sort of introductory meeting. You sort of introduced what this program was going to be all about. And then shortly thereafter, we got into some like calligraphy stuff with you.
Which
is like popsicle sticks and like.
I think it was 4 weeks of that, I remember. Yeah. I hope we won.
Yeah, so you brought that to the first year or second year
design students.
Yeah.
Do you think typography is still being emphasized? You know, in the design scene in Vancouver, do we see good typography?
I mean, I think that, well, speaking more broadly, it'd be interesting to hear your take on this being a type designer. I feel like we're in this, maybe golden age is a strong word, but like there's this, there's a whole lot of type being made right now.
It's never been easier to publish type.
Exactly, independent foundries, producers, designers, like it's never been easier to create something, put it out into the world. And, you know, as a result, that could mean maybe lesser quality stuff is put out there. But I kind of also think that like there's a lot of really great type being made.
Yeah,
right now,
there is.
It's really impressive.
Yeah.
And I can't necessarily speak to like regionally what that means, but the world is so small now. Like everybody knows what's going on everywhere instantly. Mm. Like, which is very different than, you know, roll the clock back to when, even when we were in school, we were like looking at trade publication, printed magazines.
Yeah, that was the source.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, so.
Blogs, remember those?
Yeah.
The Tumblr was new.
The pace of like idea exchange is just, it's instantaneous. It's crazy. And you know, it's just going to get crazier with the advent of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, like, that's right.
It's going to get crazy.
A lot of graphic designers are particularly worried about AI replacing what we do. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm sure we both have lots of thoughts.
Not concerned at the moment. Mm-hmm. This could change tomorrow. I could freak out tomorrow. But right now, I feel like it's regardless of how well a language model or a tool like Midjourney can make an image, you're still dealing with people and solving problems, and there's the business case and the communication aspect.
Yes,
when AI can deal with clients, then I'll be concerned.
Yeah, so you're kind of speaking to a generality that's required by a communication designer to do the whole scope of their job. Mm. And generality in AI is a pretty hard problem. It's like the problem and still hasn't quite been solved for. You know, even though there's claims of sparks of generality with GPT-4 and that kind of thing, but like there's a lot that goes into the role of a designer or a communication designer, and parts of that are going to be pretty quickly solved by some of these tools, or you know, at least they'll contribute. Mm-hmm. But it's very much, you know, in the near term going to be this super skilled assistant, right? And like, I haven't seen a lot of graphic design creation tools that are all that impressive yet. Obviously, the language models are mind-blowing. And it may just be a matter of time before we start to see some sort of graphic generation tools that are doing things interestingly. But I don't know. There's this like spark of originality that's not quite in any of this stuff.
Right.
You know, it's fancy pastiche, right? Like for the most part.
Mishmash of different things, right?
Yeah, and that's true
for
the language
models. Of an existing pattern.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and even you know the image generation models are very impressive and compelling, but it's very much like kind of taking some existing things and then I think with like really detailed photos or illustrations and stuff like that, you can kind of like. There's so much complexity and so much reference in just like the image itself. I was thinking about this earlier, you can almost kind of like hide behind that a little bit. Whereas like something really simple, like a logo or the layout of some type on a page, like as soon as you start to sort of reference something else, I think it becomes pretty clear. So, I mean, who knows? Well, I'm sure there will be some impressive tools there too, but for the time being, I think the job's general enough that you're not going to be able to kick us out. Though, I do think there's going to be some massive deflationary quality to it all, where like you'll be able to do so much more with so much less, right? Mm. Like it'll require less labor to do things, and you'll be able to, you know,
they'll be more efficient,
and therefore like potentially prices for things will drop, or costs
will be more design out there. I think one thought that I had is that while the language model AI, you know, Midjourney tools are new, the rate of change isn't new.
Right.
I mean, when I was first becoming interested in design was just maybe after the period when quote unquote desktop publishing and the digitization of the design profession had taken full effect, and everyone was talking about the democratization of the tools.
Yeah.
And everyone is a graphic designer, and how that's this landmark shift.
There were also a lot of worries in those days.
Absolutely.
Right?
Very similar worries.
Man versus machine is not a new.
It's not new.
And this is sort of just the next instantiation of that, but you know, it's not without its effects. It sort of remains to be seen.
But communication design is more than generating logos and visuals, right? There's so much behind the scenes work that is all about communication and building trust, as you were saying, right?
Absolutely.
And understanding the context of a design problem and reaching out to users and stakeholders and things like that. And AI cannot, you know. Well, I actually heard a talk at TED that said AI is actually really bad at common sense. It cannot read social clues, protocols, and, you know, the subtleties of culture. Mm-hmm. AI cannot really understand. So I guess, you know, there's still a lot of room for humans, human intelligence.
Yeah, well, it's person-to-person communication. The audience for design is still people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I think people will always be better at communicating with people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not to say that that stuff never comes to pass. Like, it's not there now. So I don't think we have to be, you know, too concerned about losing our jobs overnight. But there will be rapid change in the space, you know.
I guess, you know, for SMEs, small businesses, I guess, you know, there's always kind of a market for really cheap design. I mean, there is already like 99-cent logos, I heard.
Sure,
you know?
Fiverr. And that kind of thing has been around for a long time. And I think that if you're trying to compete on price, like it's sort of just a race to the bottom in a way. Like, and these tools are just another potential manifestation of that. And there's always a market for that kind of thing. I think that, you know, where you're going to make money is probably if you're the person that created Fiverr rather than like all the people that are providing the services on
the platform itself. Yeah. Yeah.
I think one of the potential new areas that designers can get into is to develop AI tools to do different things, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that is the design process kind of elevated to a more meta level rather than, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's a comment on just the idea of making your own tools as a designer, and like that's kind of always been a fascinating undercurrent, and there are people that really take that on. You know, there are designers, graphic designers, who decided, I'm just going to make all my own typefaces, and that's part of my approach, or in the process of being a type designer, you come up with some bit of Python code to do what have you, like, it's just another way to sort of like take control and agency over your own process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, great conversation, guys. You know, it's been how long? I mean, I don't know how long.
More than a decade.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thanks so much
for
reaching out on LinkedIn and have this conversation and to see how well you guys are doing. You know, is really, as I said, you know, heartwarming for me.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming to visit, Keith. It's been great to see you.
Yeah, thank you very much. So how do we look at your work? Where can we go to see what you guys are doing?
Postprojects.com.
Great. I'll put that link and maybe your Behance and Instagram link as well in the show notes. But yeah, thanks so much, Alex and Bo, for having this conversation.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to Visible Signs, Invisible Designs. Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, please subscribe. You can find the show on anchor.fm, Spotify, or Apple Podcast. Until next time.